It's time to fire it up.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Holy cow, Barbecue Bob. We're almost in the middle of April. Time do fly when you're having fun, brother. I'm Jop. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
That's right, pal. It is flying, and it started to be nice, and now it's back to Michigan.
Right. And this weekend, we're bust maybe 60, get rid of that cold rain and a little bit of snowflakes that happened in the middle of the week. It was, you know, we ride that roller coaster, but I've got, you know, I live in the city. I live over on the Wyoming-Granville border.
City slicker.
Right. And I have the weirdest phenomenon. My cover is still on my pool. The ducks are landing on that thing every day, and they're walking around looking for a place to build a nest. And then my poodle doodle runs out there and scares them away. And then my backyard's fenced in. The front yard, then you'll see them land out there, and they're walking all over the neighborhood just looking for a place to put a nest in somebody's shrubbery or something. I not only live in a city, I got city ducks.
So you're trying to deport them?
What? Yeah, right.
No, Back to Canada?
The dog does. It's a pair of mallards, but I've never seen it like that, that they're really just walking around the neighborhood looking to see where the safe place is to raise a family or two. But so spring is here. It's in the air.
Well, I'm curious, right, with this weather, because I missed out on the first warm-up we had, but I'm just wondering if all the maple trees are going back into winter mode for a little bit and will start flowing sap again as soon as it warms up.
Well, if it warms up during the day and it freezes at night, that's when the sap moves. I grew up making maple syrup, and if it doesn't freeze at night, the sap doesn't go back down. But when it gets below freezing, it moves up and down from the roots to the branches, and that's when you collect it.
So maybe Saturday'd be a good day to put taps out?
No, I don't think it's going to get cold that cold at night. We had it all week, but I've actually got a lady that I work with that she and her husband do sap and make syrup, and they've already pulled their taps for the year.
Oh.
Because it once the leaves start to come out, and some of them have on some of the maple trees, it goes bitter. It's not as sweet as it was, because all the energy goes to the leaf. It doesn't come.
I got too many things to do. Then
I understand.
Boring holes in my maple trees.
Here's my recommendation. Go buy some from somebody that makes it, because you only need like a gallon a year. It goes a long ways, and it's wonderful.
You know, we go through a quart a month.
Well, there you go. So you need 4 gallons.
Lots of saps on the show.
There are, right? Yeah.
Speaking, your math is really good.
Right.
A quart a month is
four gallons, because you're going to go over. Yeah. But anyway, so it is spring, I think. I hope we're getting closer anyway.
A little fun fact on maple syrup.
Yeah.
The eastern end of the UP produces more maple syrup than the entire state of Vermont.
Really?
Yeah.
The eastern end.
Yeah, just the eastern end.
Okay. Heavy with maples up
there.
It
is.
Yep. Not so many pines as you get to the west.
Well, that's how little Vermont is and how big the UP is.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Like I said, I grew up doing it. It was a family thing. My great aunt and my brothers and I and everybody would haul sap. And that was back when they did it, when I first started in the late 70s.
When you had a sugar shack.
That's exactly where I was going. There was a sugar shack out there, and it was just a big vat that they ran a wood fire underneath it, and it boiled the sap. When you get maple sap, that's the liquid out of the tree, you boil it down, and then it becomes syrup. And it's about, if you've got a really sweet tree, it's about 6 gallons to 1. If you've got average trees, it could be 8 or 10 gallons of sap makes 1 gallon of syrup. Sometimes it's even up to 20. It depends on the trees.
Our family farm was on the western end of the UP,
mm-hmm.
and we had a sugar shack.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not as many maples as the east end,
more
apparently.
More cedar up there.
Right. Yeah.
We had cedar had a shack,
tinge.
Too.
Had a little cedary taste in there, syrup.
Yeah. That sugar shack was made out of cedar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So I said kebabs because I made kebabs, and I was going to bring you guys some in this morning, and I had a coffee appointment before the recording and took off without it, without my brain. But I absolutely love, as you know, making shish kebabs. And
nothing better than meat on a stick, baby.
Well, I found that I only had a couple packs of sirloin left from my cow.
Oh.
Fortunately, May's right around the corner, and that's when my next cow comes in.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get rid of everything out of the freezer that I can right now because I'm going to keep half for myself this time, and one of my sons is taking the other half, and I have to have room in that freezer.
Yeah, so you're
getting rid of all the junk.
You're planning on long-term tenants if you and Mo are keeping a half a cow for a
no,
year.
Yeah. I'm just tired of trying to find somebody to take a quarter, and I can use it so easily.
Well, the word's out that you give them all the liver, so that's why they don't want to
do,
be they don't want to be part of your
have
quarter
liver
program.
Available.
Yeah, I was on that quarter end one time and I had a disproportionate amount of liver in the bottom of that cooler, hidden by all the, you know, the steaks and the roast and the burger.
He ripped you off?
No, he didn't rip me off. He just sent some liver my way. We'll put it that way.
We're going to have what's the Facebook fact checker? What's that called?
I don't
Snopes.
Know.
We're going to Snopes well, that.
This fact was a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was an evil plot.
Right. It was funny. I had to laugh when I got there. But anyway, so we learned to...
another reason I don't try to get somebody to take a quarter. You hear about it for years.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I had somebody that you know text me last year and go, I didn't get any steaks. I'm like, okay, you're off the list.
Right.
I'm not making the boxes up. Okay, the butcher, the
right.
slaughterhouse makes the box. He just puts numbers on them.
Right.
You're number one, you're number two, and you're number three and four.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah, nope, it's not worth it. For an extra $400 or $500, I can just have a freezer full of wonderful beef,
yep.
thanks to the Willoughby Farm up in Mount Pleasant.
There you go. It works. It works if you've got room.
Not a Willoughby as in an Australian animal either.
That's a wallaby. Not a Willoughby.
That's a wildebeest.
Right.
Oh, it is a wallaby, you're right.
So kebabs, let's talk a little bit about that because we did touch on it just a second ago. Two or three secrets. You know where I'm going with this, but when you're cutting your protein, whether you're doing chicken or you're doing pork or you're doing beef, you always want the cuts of meat the same size. Don't put some big chunks on there and little chunks between them or anything because they don't cook at the same pace. And if you're cooking to get the big ones done, the little ones are going to be overdone, and why bother, right? Cook, you know, whatever your cube size is.
Yeah, and
is.
Everybody has a different philosophy on kebabs, too, I've heard you say, and several people say, well, you know, don't let the vegetables touch them, all this stuff. I used my big Cajun, and it's a great big top. And
charcoal grill.
I had so many skewers. That it's a good thing I condensed them all tight to each other because I could barely get them all on there. I made a monster portion of kebabs. But what I really like is when the onion and the pepper and all that is cooking next to the meat and it's
sure.
it's infusing a little bit of that flavor. And, of course, I like my meat a little on the rare side.
Right.
So you do get a nice pink center when you do that. But this time I happened to – actually marinate some zucchini, some okay. small zucchini.
Those are that's
it.
One of nature's sponges. Boy, do zucchini suck up marinade.
And they were so wonderful on a kebab. For some reason, as many zucchini as I always grow, I never bothered to use them.
Right.
But if
sometimes they can be a little too big around.
You cut them
yeah.
in, and these were small. So
yeah.
if you cut them into discs,
right.
they just, and I also do not any longer put my tomatoes on the skewer.
I was going to say that, too.
Yeah. I put those in a grilling screen pan, basically, that has a bunch of holes in it. And I just let those cook naturally alongside them. And then I use those Kalamata, Kala something.
Campari, I think.
Campari,
yeah. Right.
I'm thinking of the olives.
Right. They're a tomato about the size of a golf ball.
Perfect size.
Right. Yep. But the reason is that when you poke a hole in the tomato and then you start to put heat to the tomato, the juice all comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And you get this withered up, drier, almost like
don't make any references.
A grill dried tomato, and it's not good. You put them in
right.
the basket, leave them whole, don't pierce them. They'll
yeah.
cook up and get good.
So well, my point is the pictures of the skewers aren't quite as pretty with all that red.
Right.
But boy. Yeah. They sure turned out nice.
All right. So coming up next, it is spring. We're going to talk about a little wood-fired grilling. There's there's some unique things you need to learn about wood-fired grilling, because it isn't as easy as it sounds. It's been around forever, but you need to have some tips and techniques. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Open from 6:30 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and 8 to 3 on Sundays. You can enjoy a fresh pastry in the morning, a hearty sandwich for lunch, or a delicious brick oven pizza for dinner. Whether you're into coffee and tea, beer or wine, our drink menu is sure to have something for everyone. We hope to see you soon. Don't forget to check out our sister location, Hall Street Bakery, on the corner of Hall and Fuller. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We were kind of all over the map in the first segment. Imagine that.
Shock.
Shocker. But let's focus in on a little wood-fired grilling. This is a topic that I think takes more practice than probably any other type of fuel in my world, only because the temperature is hard to regulate in a wood fire for me. I mean, hot is hot, but if you don't have a good fire going when you put more fuel on, sometimes it cools off. And, you know, so you gotta have some technique.
Right. And you have to have a big enough grill, wood fired or charcoal grill, to actually properly pull it off. And that's where you're touching on. I would add to it that you're actually not going to throw the wood on the coals that are cooking your food, because those are going to create flames. So what I've seen and done is, like they do in these nice restaurants where they have the wood-fired pizza ovens. And if you just look at, remember when we promoted long ago, going around when I was traveling around the country, and we would do a state at a time, and we ran into that guy down in North Carolina that was teaching people how to just make a cement block pit.
Yeah.
And what those guys do is they build a fire and they're pushing the coals in to do the cooking.
Sure.
And that's what I'm suggesting with wood-fired grilling, is if you have a big enough grate, so you have to have a big enough charcoal grill, and plenty of people do. They even get these cheap ones from the big box stores, and you just need a surface. But you start off with your wood fire, and you just keep building it and building it on the side, and then you slowly migrate those hot coals over to where you're going to cook until you have enough of them over there where you're actually ready to grill. So it takes time. It's a process, just
right,
like any good cooking is.
And you want to be careful, not careful, cognizant of the kind of wood that you burn. Stay away from pine. Okay, pine is easy to find. Pine is easy to start a fire with. Pine is not made to cook with.
Don't be a sap.
Right. Huh, there you go. You need hardwood. And if you don't know the difference, don't cook with wood.
Well,
you need to know.
There are wonderful books out there that'll help you identify trees.
Right.
And I happen to have a couple of them because I'm a tree freak. But that's one way to do it. But I always think back of my camping trip to Pensacola with a group of friends when I was tricked into grilling ribs camping.
On the beach.
Camping, yeah.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find any flavor wood. Fortunately, the guy brought some at least lump charcoal. We were using his little Smoky Joe, but I had no flavor wood. And he didn't bring lump charcoal. He brought briquettes and the big brand that tastes terrible. So I'm like, I need some flavor wood. I literally, as I've told you before, grabbed a piece of driftwood off the beach and broke it up.
Right.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So I used to be all into the species, and I used to tout myself as being able to identify the smoke based on the species. I think I was just getting lucky most of the time.
Yeah, well, you got some, like mesquite, real strong, real dominant flavor.
I never know your brother lived in Texas the way you bang on mesquite.
Right, but it's just strong. I didn't say I didn't like it, but
you have enough times.
Right, it's just a very strong flavor, and you have to kind of You have to.
No offense
a taste
to all you Texans out there. Right. He really is a pro Texas guy.
Yeah, but so you know the fruit woods, the apple, the cherry, those are good. Hickory, very good. Those are harder woods usually, and those are the ones that will make smoke real well. So
yeah, the one of the nicest ones I ever ran into, and I used to sell years ago, was pecan.
Right. Yep.
And
that's a southern
friend
thing.
Up in the UP, up in Smoke. He loves his pecan. He brings it up from Georgia. That's
right.
Where he's from.
Yep.
But that's a wonderful wood. But you're right. Hickory is easy. Oak is actually just fine. It's very close to hickory. Hickory is just what I'm used to, and it's traditional or whatever.
Right.
I got beat with a hickory bat. It just brings me back.
Uh huh. Was it one of these new elliptical ones or a straight bat?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, right.
What's up with that?
Well, it must
they're
be working.
They're going to ban them. They're going to ban them.
Well, right now they're legal. It's open to the world. Holy tangent that was, but that's been in the
so,
news.
So wood fired grilling is a thing, and I don't know how many people have actually tried it. If we could see a show of hands, yeah, there's a few of you out there.
Conrad, does your wife grill with hardwood?
All right.
Don't ask him about his wife and hardwood.
I know. I met her. Shocker.
I know.
She's a wonderful
Isn't
woman.
She sweet?
I don't know what she was thinking when she married him, like, what, 30 hey, years ago, 40 years ago.
Welcome to my world.
Thanks,
right,
Conrad.
Man.
Thanks, boys.
Oh, boy. It had to be, I think it must have been the mullet.
It's nice to be loved.
Yeah.
After all.
Right.
Did you ever have a mullet?
Of course I did. I've got a picture of me with heavy metal bands backstage in my old job here in Grand Rapids before country. I was doing rock. So, yeah, I had hair to my shoulders.
Yeah, I think I saw a Metallica picture of you somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Was she like the lead bassist or something?
Something like that. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well,
mandatory Metallica, we used
to say. They throw you under the bus, and then they kiss your butt a second later. This is what I go through every
week. This is Welcome to the Grilling Guys.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
yeah,
if, you know,
big boy radio,
right? You can't take the heat. You know what? Turn my mic off.
Don't forget. Speaking of big boy radio, if you're an avid listener, if you haven't like found us on the podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Google, any of these pods, make sure you search us out. Go to thegrillinguys.com. Check out our website. Please look at the sponsors we've got. As soon as you open up the page, you're going to see an offer for a free ThermoPen. If you do not still have a ThermoPen, do not ever come up to us at an event and tell us. But if you don't have a ThermoPen, you could actually get one for free. But you can actually buy the basic one for like 50, 60 bucks right off our site.
Right.
But at least sign up for the free one. It's like Jop says, we're not selling your email address. We don't care, really. We're just trying to broaden the exposure of the brands. And if you're on thegrillingguys.com, you'll see MyPillow. You'll see all kinds of people that we've got new ones coming, coffees and different things, where Garrett's Appliance, Zobe Meats, all these people have a link. You'll go right to their sale page if you check us out. On the bottom of it, you'll see Jethro's live streaming. That's a cool way to listen in your market, depending on, I mean, it doesn't matter what market you're in. If we're not on a station in your market, Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. Eastern, if you click on that Jethro link, you're going to be stuck with us. You may be sorry.
Hard to forget. It's jethro.fm,
yeah,
right?
Easy.
Easy one to remember.
How did they ever come up with that? It was
someone other than us was thinking.
Some black
that's
magic right there
right.
is what I'm
yep.
saying.
It is. Good. So wrapping up this wood-fired grilling, give it a try. Be patient. Start your fire. Let the coals develop and cook with the coals. Don't cook with the open flame.
And if you're using 2x4s, take the nails out.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't use the treated 2x4s. That's going to put a fancy flavor on your meat. But anyway, so coming up next, we're going to take an extension of the wood. This is something that Bob turned me on to years ago when he sold these things. I'd never heard of it. And now it's a regular staple in my repertoire, and that's a pellet grill. Many of you have heard of the big brand Traeger. There's lots and lots of other brands out there as well. But there are some tricks to pellet grills, too, because it's a different kind of fuel. So you're going to want to stick with the grilling guys, and we'll give you some tips on your pellet grill. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan. 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids, It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys...
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, spring weekend, where we are. We're gonna maybe hit 60 today, so it's starting to feel like spring. I talked in the earlier segment that the mallards are looking for a place to build a nest around my house, and... The dog's having fun with saying, not in my yard, baby. But anyway, we've been talking about different kinds of grills, and the pellet grill is one that I know a lot of people have them now. It's I believe that it's really grown in popularity in the last 5 to 10 years. And there's a couple reasons in my mind, Bob, but what are you thinking about? Why is it that people have pellet grills now?
Because their friends give them to them.
Right. Well, that's how I got mine. And mine is vintage because Bob was in
okay,
the business.
Okay, let's get on to pellets.
Right,
come on,
right.
Heard the story of the poor pellet grill.
Well, I got the one that fell off the back of his vehicle. That's the one I got, but it still works.
That's an ugly tale.
Right.
It's an ugly tale.
No, it's pretty. I love it. I've used the heck out of that thing over the years. But anyway, so pellet grills, go for it.
Yeah, well, I'll just get you started because you are a bigger fan of them than I. I did sell them for years, and I've had a lot of experience with them, the good and the bad. But let's face it, for a lot of beginning barbecue people, it's a way for them to start doing barbecue. And I say barbecue, I'm saying low and slow smoking.
Right. If you don't know what a pellet grill is, you probably had your head in the sand for a while. But if you real quickly... There's a hopper full of this little pressed sawdust.
Looks like rabbit poop.
Right. And the hopper, there's an auger on the bottom that augers it into a flame box. There's an igniter. It turns flame on, then it blows air on it. When you got fuel and you got air and you got fire, you're going to get heat.
These hardwood mills found out that if they take their sawdust and compress it under 10,000 pounds.
Right.
That it actually stays together. People think there's glue in them. It's not glue, because that would taste terrible. It's just 10,000 pounds of pressure would make you look like that,
and
too.
Then they run them through an extruder, which makes a little pellet out of them. But the pellet grill, I think one of the reasons why it's so popular is it works, but there is science behind it too, because there's a temperature probe in there that monitors how hot the cooking chamber is, and it's tied to the auger and the blower.
All that's true, but it actually lends itself to the real reason people like it. It's easy.
Right, right. And that's where I was going, is that you've got a dial on there. If you want your cooking chamber, I mean, the number one problem that people have when they're smoking is consistent temperature. They're opening the thing up, the chamber goes down cold. They close it back down, it has to catch up, so it heats up too hot.
No matter what it is.
Right, yeah. So this pellet grill has a thermometer on it, and when it needs more heat, it augers more pellets down to the fire. When it needs less heat, it stops the augering process.
Okay, time out. So back to thegrillingguys.com. There's another icon on the right that says ThermoWorks.
Right.
They have devices, we have them, that you can actually use in your regular grill too. So if you like that ability, you can monitor your temperature from wherever you're at with one of those simple devices for a couple $100. Go ahead, back to what you're
doing. Can. So the pellet grill allows you to have consistent cooking temperature. And that in combination with knowing what your product on the grill, what temperature it's at, those two things will vastly increase the quality of your grilled product when you're done. You don't want to put too much heat under it or not enough heat to cook it, but secondly, you don't want it undercooked or overcooked. You want it to the perfect temperature that it should be. So these temperature monitoring devices are critical to get great quality food. Now, with a pellet grill, it's built in. All of these grills have a digital screen on them where you can set the temperature. If you want it at 270 to smoke, it's going to keep the grill at 270. And that is it's a tremendous advantage to get great product out the other end when you're done. And you know that because it monitors the temperature and it keeps it within 4 or 5 degrees. It's not exact, but that's okay. But it's the 30 degree or 40 degree swings that cause you to have problems in a smoker. So the pellet grill, I think it should be called a pellet smoker in my world, but they can grill as well, right, Bob?
Well, when they first came out, Traeger was made like in Oregon. And it was a small company that was cool and kind of catchy. And that was the big question was, can you actually grill on this? And guys would jump through their you-know-whats to try and grill on a pellet smoker. And then they came out with a little, they called it a hot spot. It's like right where the fire came out.
Right.
You put your steak. Yeah, I'm grilling. Well, now they've, you know, the technology's come along. They offshored the thing. It's over in China and, you know, which is a problem I have with it. But I don't know if I ever told you, but I don't like stuff coming in from China.
Huh?
Connor. What? Yeah. Never heard that.
Well, so it did evolve, and then all kinds of other people came out and started making them. The competition's always good. So you can get higher temperatures now in them, and you can grill on them, actually-ish. But it's still really primarily a smoker. It kind of smokes and grills, and you can make some great products on them. I'm not saying they're horrible. Millions of people love them.
Right.
I'm just a snob.
See, so, like, I do barbecues, right? And so I cook my pork over hardwood smoke, either on our trailer smoker, or if it's a smaller party, I'll do it in my Big Green Egg because I like the hickory that comes from Bob's property.
Because it's delivered.
Right, yeah. is a wonderful smoke wood. But if I'm smoking my beans, I want to get some smoke on the beans on the top, right? I put those on the pellet grill. Why? Because I don't even have to think about it. I put them on there. I set the temperature at 275. I walk away.
And it's a space.
Right. Exactly.
See, here's what Jop is really saying also is one reason, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but one reason maybe to have a pellet grill, pellet smoker, is maybe you need just a little more ability. And so you're demonstrating that flexibility you have as a result of this
multiple piece of equipment.
Warehouse full of equipment you have.
Right. Yep. Exactly. So, but I use it for that because it's rectangular. You've all seen them, and it'll hold a full pan of beans on there, and it puts great smoke on it, and it provides heat. That's what I need for my beans. So I use it for that, and when I'm cooking everything else, I'm monitoring the pork temperatures for time to pull it and wrap it and all that, and the beans I just forget about because I know they're not going to overcook, and I just leave them on there, and every hour or two, I look at them and see if they're ready and put a temperature probe in them. Okay, they're not quite where I want them, but it's a set it and forget it type
well,
thing.
Ish. Yeah. But here's what you should never fool yourself about. And Randy's very good about this part of it, is he takes good care of his equipment. But with a pellet smoker, you'll want to maintain the mechanics on it.
Exactly.
You need a guy like Conrad around who can tear anything apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but if you don't maintain it, keep it clean, keep right. The ash out of it, do all these little things. It's dependent on you. You know, it's mechanical. It's got little things that have to move certain ways, and it's going to want to push more pellets in. And if there's ash in the way, if the pot is dirty, if the grates are getting caked up, all these things will affect that science.
Right.
And it's built on science.
So one word to the wise. The first time you take it apart, watch how it
take
comes.
Take a picture.
Take a picture before you start, because you need to put it back together the same way.
Oh.
Or you might get a fire in your pellet box that will catch the whole bin of pellets on fire. And probably,
I know a guy that did that.
Probably do some damage to your piece of equipment. Now, I don't have firsthand knowledge. Well, as a matter of fact, I do have firsthand knowledge of that. And I was shocker, right? Shocker.
You have to see Randy with a look of surprise to understand the true gist of this.
But I caught it before it burned my garage down. But we were good.
Anyway, it was a rental property.
Coming up next, we got a new sponsor, West Michigan Mortgage and Continuing Mission Mortgage. And Chris Alecki from the company, the proprietor and owner, is going to be joining us. So you're going to want to meet Chris. This is some really interesting stuff. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit GarrettsAppliances.com. That's GarrettsAppliances.com.
Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're ready to get out and fire up your grill, create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. But we got a special guest in the studio, Bob. We've got Chris Alecki from West Michigan Mortgage, but it also has a second company, Chris, and it's called Continuing Mission Mortgage. And I know this is going to strike a chord with you, Bob.
Well, and here's the real tie-in. See, what we're going to do is we're going to find out how much a nice grill area adds to a home value, so we can get that mortgage where we want it.
Right, yeah.
Doubles it. I like this guy already.
Right, yeah. So, Chris, West Michigan Mortgage and Continuing Mission Mortgage, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, West Michigan Mortgage is our parent company. It was started in 2021, right in the midst of the pandemic. So it's a kind of a weird time to start a company. But, you know, I wanted to start a company that was fair, fast, easy, and you know, did right by the consumer. Companies that I had worked at previously, you know, didn't have the same mantra. So I just thought I could do it better. And then about a year ago, we started Continuing Mission Mortgage as a way to make sure that we're serving the veteran community. I found in my career that community was, so to speak, exploited.
Okay.
You know? We wanted to make sure that, you know, veterans were getting the right advice and, the right usage of their benefits top to bottom. So
interesting. Bob, you're a veteran. I'm not. You've got a son that's a veteran and another one that's active. So this is something that's near and dear to your family, that you could take advantage of this.
Yeah.
So,
I used my VA loan when I first got married.
Right.
12.75.
Wow. Right, yeah. Right. So Chris, this strikes a chord with our show. We're very much huge supporters of the military and patriots. But explain to us what the unique things that the VA mortgage, because maybe many of our listeners are veterans and they just don't know about
sure,
this.
Sure, sure. Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about the VA loan. Like, one of them is that you can only use it once.
Right.
So, you know, that's a big myth that we dispel. A lot of our education goes to the real estate community, realtors specifically, that think it's a harder loan or it's a subpar loan.
No harder than FHA.
It's no harder than conventional. It actually has a lot of features in it that actually make it a better offer. You know, there's, you know, especially with the market right now, you know, appraisals are a big thing. Right.
So would you say then that maybe some mortgage companies have made it harder for the realtor because they simply didn't understand some of the nuances or they've stayed away from them?
I don't know if lending companies have made it harder. I do know that the VA loan, back in the 80s, 90s, was a more difficult loan because you'd have to submit that loan directly to the VA. That's not the case anymore.
Okay.
Lenders are able to make their own decision on the file without the VA actually getting involved.
So they're just looking it over, and then they're going to sell that paper off to somebody who wants to service a...
Well, no, it's not even so much that they sell it off to somebody that wants to service it. It's the actual VA doesn't lend any money. They just guarantee the loan.
Mm-hmm.
So it that in itself lowers the interest rate and costs on loans for veterans.
But you wouldn't put a VA mortgage in with conventionals if you're selling a portfolio, would you? Do they co-blend those?
I actually am not sure on the secondary market.
Anyway, it's too much inside baseball. I'm just curious how that is now, because when I went through it in the 80s, it was tough.
So let me get to the simple guy like me.
Okay.
why would I want a VA loan versus conventional if I had the credentials, meaning a veteran, to be able to get one?
Well, there's a couple of different reasons.
That's a good question.
Yeah. There's no down payment required. So it allows...
Well, that's huge.
Yeah. It allows the pathway to home ownership, the American dream that they fought for and served for. They're able to achieve it a lot easier. Secondly, during the process, I was getting to it with the appraisal. There's actually... When you have an appraisal done in lending, there's usually no recourse for what comes back, right? You can contest the value a little bit. VA loan actually has two triggers to make sure that appraised value hits. The first one is while the appraiser is appraising it, they have to actually let us know that it won't hit the purchase price. It's called Tidewater. So they'll let us know before we even see the report, hey, this is coming in a little low. So we can get together with the real estate agents and say, hey, find me a couple of comparable houses that I can submit to this appraiser to get that value. Now, if that value comes in even lower, or it comes in low still after we submit that, we can do a reconsideration of value where we actually send the appraiser or the appraisal to the VA, and then a unbiased third party is going to look at it and hopefully get us the value that we need at that point. So,
interesting.
Yeah, it makes it actually a stronger offer because we have those different avenues to make sure that the deal gets accomplished.
So if you just tuned in, you might wonder if you're still listening to the Grilling Guys. You are, but this is a men's weekend show. It's not just for men either, but it's the lifestyle, right? And I don't know too many men that haven't had to get a mortgage. So when Randy pitched me on this, I'm like, yeah, that absolutely. And I didn't even know the VA part. That makes it even more relevant to me, but also maybe a little more interesting for people out there who are underserved.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I think that's great that you have that heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the biggest thing that we want to focus on is making sure that veterans get the benefits that they're entitled to. And one of the biggest ones with the mortgage is that VA mortgages, because they're guaranteed by the VA, they have lower interest rates, right? But other big box lenders kind of take advantage of that and pad their margins on the backs of VA benefits.
Oh, man, really?
Right? Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was grotesque. When I saw how much that was happening, Continuing Mission Mortgage was born the next day.
Tell us the name of your company again.
Continuing Mission Mortgage.
Continuing Mission.
Charlie
and the
Mike.
Other one? And the other one?
West Michigan Mortgage.
Okay. And we're going to get those up on our website because Chris has agreed to come on as one of our new sponsors. We love sponsors. We do this as a hobby, but we have to actually, it's a business.
Sure.
And we love the fact that you came alongside us. You just totally inspired me now because I'm thinking, you have an office in Grand Rapids?
I do, yeah.
And in Detroit?
Nope, just we have one office in Grand Rapids, and then I have loan officers kind of all over the country.
Okay,
so,
California,
so
that's
kind
of how it's gone now. I've noticed a lot of my mortgage buddies.
Many businesses are virtual, and you have to take advantage of that. The brick and mortar is expensive. You got to have it someplace, but not everywhere.
Well, exactly. My point in asking is because what we want to do is, do you grill yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what we want to do is we want to roll up and do a barbecue for you.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
And then we can have a lot of fun. We can do some social media. And we can get the word out to these vets because we've done a lot of different vet work. But
we had a charity we started, a 501c3 called Operation GI Barbecue, and we did that for about 3 years. And the purpose of that was to bring grilling equipment to military bases, but we hit some snags with the government about bringing in equipment that wasn't procured right, and security. It all made sense.
Well, the load was supposed to go to Bagram.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to show up with a plane load of pigs. Just kidding.
Yeah. I'm sure you'd be the most popular guy there, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, so... So, Chris, this is missional, no pun intended, for you guys to do this, and it's so admirable because I believe that what you don't know, you don't know, and somebody taking up this cause and saying there's a better way to do this, and there are predatory lenders out there, they'll remain nameless, but you saw it, you were in the business, and you said, I'm going to fix this. Because these are the men and women that put their lives on the line for us. They should get every single benefit that's available to them legally and fairly, right? Profit's
Absolutely.
Not a dirty word, but at the end of the day, exceedingly profitable is not good when we're taking
Correct.
Advantage of people that put their lives on the line for us. I'll get off my soapbox, but I got strong feelings about that.
We're sending Doge after them.
That's right, man. Exactly. But Chris, thanks for coming in. How can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more?
Sure. So West Michigan Mortgage, you can check us out on our website at wmimortgage.com. Continuing Mission Mortgage, probably the easiest way is we actually set up a toll-free number. So it's 877-616-VETS.
Oh, nice.
You can get a hold of an expert, probably me as well,
right,
you know,
yep,
and
yep.
We'll help guide you through the process.
All right. Well, you've been Sounds listening great. To Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. If you remember, and I know you will, get out in your backyard and fire up a grill or a smoker. And if you need a bigger backyard, call West Michigan Mortgage because they can hook you up with a new pad.
Nice. See ya.